Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Dr. Catherine Broughton is a colorectal fellow who has worked at the Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital in Perth and is now based in Scotland. She's the co-author of a perspective published by the MJA on acute abdomen and how Australian emergency departments can improve their assessment and treatment of this potentially fatal presentation. Her article is online at mja.com.au from Monday the 27th of November 2017, and Dr. Broughton is my special guest today. What is acute abdomen and why is it important to assess it quickly?
So an acute abdomen really is severe abdominal pain that warrants the patient presenting to an emergency department, presenting to a hospital. It generally means it is a severe cause of the abdominal pain and usually requires urgent medical assessment and usually urgent treatment, which is more often than not surgical treatment. So examples of an acute abdomen are things like appendicitis or peritonitis from multiple causes. And obviously these patients generally present quite unwell, and that dictates that they do need urgent attention.
You say in your paper that there's evidence-based standards for assessment and treatment. Why hasn't a fast-track pathway been developed in Australia?
In Australia and also in New Zealand, we've been a bit slow on the uptake of some of this work that has been done, especially in the UK, but also in Europe in regards to outcomes and improving the care of patients who are undergoing emergency laparotomies. And so we're sort of about, 5 or 7 years behind. And I mean, I'm not entirely sure why we've been a bit slow on the uptake, but we have been, and we're sort of using the information that has come out of the UK and fortunately not needing to redo the entire lot, but we are sort of a bit behind. So it's a difficult group to look at. It's a very heterogeneous group, wide variation of surgical diagnoses, but it is very clear now that from the evidence throughout Europe and the UK that there is, very, very clear standards of care that we should be meeting. And it's often simple things. So getting patients early antibiotic treatment, getting them to the operating theatre in an appropriate time frame, getting the right people operating on them. And we just need to, develop that pathway and, individualise it to the Australian New Zealand health system, because it's obviously what they're doing in the UK is not, entirely applicable to the health system down under. It just needs to be changed once we've sort of gone through the motions of getting some good quality data from Australia.
So the consequences of not assessing a heart attack or a stroke early are pretty obvious and horrible. Are the consequences as bad for acute abdomen?
To be honest, they're actually worse. So, the mortality for a patient having an emergency laparotomy is much higher than the chance that a patient's going to die following a heart attack or a stroke. Now, because the diagnoses are multiple, it's sometimes not as clear. We don't have a single blood test like we, do in a patient having a heart attack or, the investigation can be more complex. But in fact, this is a higher risk group and we should therefore be putting more attention to managing these patients. And that's why we do need these pathways that do exist and have existed for a long time for stroke and heart attack patients.
Tell us about what the NHS in Britain has done and what we can learn from that.
The NHS, identified that there was a problem. So they identified that there's this very high-risk group, these patients that were acutely unwell undergoing emergency surgery, and it was very clear that the outcomes weren't great and could be improved. So they noticed very clearly that mortality was high, that patients often weren't getting, expedited surgical treatment, that often consultants weren't present, during these surgical procedures, despite these patients being high risk. So they produced a number of key papers and identified the issue and then have gone about fixing it. And that's basically what led to the establishment and now 3 years down the track of the National Emergency Laparotomy Audit. And, they've got very good evidence now throughout England and Wales about the outcomes. And then they've tacked on a quality improvement aspect to that. And that, and are improving the mortality, improving the length of stay, and with that comes a reduction of costs. And so they've managed to get continued funding, which is great, and have continued to show improvement in all 3 years that they've been running now. So I think we can learn, one, how to, you know, undertake such an audit, and also how to do the quality improvement that they've done. It's very clear now that we're likely to be able to improve the outcomes in a similar manner in Australia, and therefore we're going to reduce our mortality, reduce our length of stay, other key incomes, and also reduce healthcare costs as a result of that.
Do we have an estimate about what those cost reductions might be?
Yeah, so most of the costs, estimations that was made are based on reducing length of stay.
Yeah.
Because generally, you know, a night in hospital is expensive, mm-hmm. and regardless of what else you do, so regardless of whether you use different medical equipment, do different surgical procedures, what really makes a difference is getting patients home earlier, obviously appropriately so. So we know from the NELA that they reduce their average length of stay by 2 days between the first and the second year. So if we manage throughout Australia just to reduce the length of stay by 1 day, so that's not even the 2 days, we're just assuming that we do it by 1 day, then based on the cost of one night in hospital in Australia, we'd estimate that would save the Australian healthcare system $34 million in a year.
Well, that's worth doing, even
a lot of money.
Yeah, there's a lot. There seems to be a lot of variation in care in Australia. Do we know what some of the reasons for that variation is?
Variation always exists in healthcare because not every hospital is doing the same procedures in the same risk population.
Yeah.
So obviously, a hospital in a lower socioeconomic status population, those patients are likely to have, you know, more untreated medical problems. Or if you're looking at a tertiary, referral hospital in a big city, they're going to be treating a different population group. So variation's always going to exist. It's a variation that is, you know, what we call unwarranted variation. So when it's not related to those patients' needs or patients' preferences, and that's what we really need to reduce. So we need to identify the hospitals that aren't performing as well, identify what the issues are, standardising the care around patients undergoing emergency laparotomies, reallocating resources if needed, and that is likely to reduce the variation and therefore improve the outcomes of these patients.
Western Australia's had a 12-week trial of a pathway to faster assessment.
Yep.
How's that gone? Do we know yet?
So we undertook a 12-week audit last year, so in 2016, and it's now published. So this is very interesting. We set out not knowing what we were really doing, because up until this point, there is no multi-hospital, let alone a statewide audit of outcomes following emergency laparotomies. So we're really in the dark, and we sort of just wanted to get an idea of what the mortality was like, and also were we actually compliant with, you know, what we now know is evidence-based standards of care. So over the 12 weeks, very surprisingly, we had, you know, a very low 30-day mortality compared to international standards. So we know from the UK and many other studies that 10 to 15% mortality within 30 days. And in Western Australia, this was only 6.6%.
Wow.
So despite that great low mortality, we failed to meet those standards of care across the board. And that dichotomy is a little difficult to understand.
Yeah.
We don't have all the reasons yet. One of the reasons may be a sort of cultural difference in selecting patients who are actually going to survive an operation. And I think Australia is better at acknowledging the patient who's not going to benefit from surgery and who's going to die regardless. And we're better at talking to patients and their families, frankly, about them and actually selecting those patients, you know, and appropriately looking at comfort care rather than subjecting them to an operation of which they never make it home or they die within 30 or 60 or 90 days.
Tell us about the binational quality improvement project and how, when that's going to roll out and how.
After the Western Australian audit, we saw that we very clearly needed some national data. And while we have looked at the administrative data, which has clearly demonstrated that we do have variation throughout Australia, it became very clear we needed, you know, prospectively collected high quality data. And at the same time, we need to look at quality improvement, not just data collection. So the Royal College of Surgeons of Australasia, and in combination with the Australian New Zealand College of Anaesthetists, we're in, you know, the midst of setting up a binational audit and quality improvement project, which should hopefully get started middle of 2018. We're looking at all those areas that are likely to be lacking, and sort of reducing that variation, reducing our mortality, yep, patient complications, length of stay, and we know that that's likely to result in cost saving as well. I think the take-home message is that from a snapshot across Western Australia, which we don't think is necessarily going to represent Australia as a whole. Mm-hmm. Western Australia is quite different. Obviously, there's some very remote areas, but the vast majority of the population live in Perth.
Yep.
And unlike the rest of Australia, about 70% of those operations were actually performed in a tertiary hospital. So, a hospital with a large amount of services and resources.
Yeah.
Whereas that's unlikely to happen in other states. And that may be part of the explanation for our low mortality.
Okay.
So I think what we can say from the study in Western Australia is that we do have this dichotomy. We've got limited high-quality evidence, but we clearly now know that there is variation, and we know that reducing variation is very likely to improve patient outcomes, and that's what we need to look at.
Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.